Hello and welcome to Joe 2's Video Game Podcast with me, Joe, and...
Me, Min Lee.
That's a brilliant name. Good job thinking up about yourself.
I thought of it all by myself.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. If you're a new listener, then welcome. This is a video game podcast in which our cat, Joey 2, who is the ugly black cat you can see in the thumbnail, we review video games for him, and then at the end of the episode, he gives his judgment on the video game we've discussed. However, today, something slightly different, because, listeners... Joey 2 is not our only cat. In fact, he is the second cat. Okay? He has an older sister who has appeared a few times in this podcast, normally for negative things.
She normally sabotages his podcast or just meows every now and then.
Yeah, or just meows. And her name is Maisie. Now, we noticed that since Joey became podcast famous with millions of fans across the world, that it's been causing some tension between his sister and himself. There's been some fighting, there's been some meowing, some very high-pitched screeches from Maisie, and I think what's happened is the fame's gone to his head a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and you know, he's a different cat since this podcast has started. So we thought, what better way to sort of even the score and hopefully help them get along better than giving Maisie her own little spotlight, okay? So we thought we'd do something different for this episode. So this is going to be the first episode of something that we might do again, called Maisie's Movies, where instead of playing a video game and having Jerry pass his judgment on it, instead we're going to be watching a movie based on a video game and having Maisie pass her judgment, because Maisie doesn't like video games very much,
but
she's a huge
lazy, so she'll just lounge there and...
Yeah, but she's a huge movie buff. Mm-hmm. She loves movies. So every episode of Maisie's Movies, however often we decide to do it, see how we feel, we are going to watch a video game based on a movie, and then we're going to see what Maisie thinks of it at the end. She will pass her judgment. So what movie did we decide to watch today, Min?
Street Fighter.
Street Fighter, the movie from 1994. There is apparently a remake or another movie from like 2009 or something.
Yeah,
we watched the original Street Fighter movie. Now, before we sort of get into our discussion of it, do you want to talk about a little bit about your experience with this movie in the past, or maybe just the series in general as well?
So the movie gist of it is I watched it when I was very, 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 very young. So watching it today was basically like watching it from, as if I'd never
from
watched
scratch.
It. Yeah, from
yeah.
scratch. I did remember little bits and bats. I didn't remember it being quite as hilarious, but we'll get to that. But yeah, so, you know, second time maybe. Didn't really remember anything. In terms of the actual series, Street Fighter plays a very big part of my childhood and why I like video games so much these days. You know, we used to play it on the Mega Drive a lot on Street Fighter 2 on when we were younger and have continued to play it. I think me and you started playing Street Fighter 4 and 5
yeah.
together. We fucking love 4. But yeah, just always a game that's been there. Always played it with my family. My dad absolutely loves it, so... Got a lot of love towards it, despite it, you know, having its ups and downs. But for you...
So for me, in terms of the movie, I've never seen it before. I've seen clips of it. I knew it by reputation, okay? Let's say that. But I haven't actually seen it. In terms of the series, I did have Street Fighter 2 for the Mega Drive, but it was like never... I did play it and I enjoyed it, but it was never like my favourite thing in the world. Like, I much prefer Golden Axe if we're talking Mega Drives. but I always kind of had the opinion that one-on-one fighters just weren't for me, that I couldn't get my head around them. The idea of doing complex button combinations like in the middle of a fight, just my brain did not work like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty much the case until we played Street Fighter 4 Ultra. So, and we'll do a podcast about that someday.
Yeah.
But Min Lee forced me to play Street Fighter 4 Ultra, and at first I was like, this is dreadful, I can't do it, I can only button mash, I can only kick and kick and kick and do nothing else. And then suddenly something clicked, and all of a sudden I was doing ultra combos and stuff like that, and I just loved it. I absolutely
mm-hmm.
loved it by the end of it, and I was so surprised, it blew me away. It was fantastic. Well, we'll talk about that some other time. What I didn't love quite as much was Street Fighter the movie from 1994.
You don't love it, but you do.
I kind of loved it. I kind of thought it was kind of great, but it was also kind of terrible as well. So this, you know, it's from a different time. First off, I mean, the cast, right? So they've kind of like, I get the feeling with this movie, I'm going to assume that if you're listening to this podcast, you've probably already seen the movie. So I'm not going to go into... You know, we're not going to go into like every single plot point.
No.
And we're also not going to worry about spoiling stuff because, you know, you've probably seen
it.
And also, I don't know how you'd spoil it. But it kind of feels like they've gone, right, let's think of a way of getting as many Street Fighter characters on screen in the film at once, regardless of whether or not it's smart or makes sense or anything like that.
Yeah, and also, let's get as many actors who have, like, any relevance at that point and smash them in. I mean, you'll know better than I, because I'm not... I'm notoriously bad with actors. Like, I will just make up names.
Yeah, actually, sorry. I was going to say, before we carry on, actually, this is something I meant to do at the start of the podcast. I'm going to do this very quickly. Yeah. So, Min knows nothing about films, all right? I think I've got decent film knowledge. Mm-hmm. Min knows literally nothing about films whatsoever. So, I'm going to give a practical demonstration of that right now, okay? So, Min Lee, can you name me some films starring the actor Samuel L. Jackson? So Min's staring off into the distance at the moment.
We talked about this yesterday. Django Unchained.
That's not fair. I mentioned that film. Okay, let's do a different one, because I mentioned that film literally yesterday. Can you name me some films starring Nicolas Cage? Okay, so she's again.
Dracula.
Dracula. Okay, anything else? So we've got Dracula listeners. We've got Dracula starring Nicolas Cage. She's staring at Jerry, hoping that he'll give her an answer. Just sticking with Dracula?
I can only think of Pickles. I don't know.
Okay, she only thinks of Pickles. Okay. He's not in Dracula.
What? Really?
No, he's not. No.
Oh, I thought I saw that.
I think you might be thinking of Keanu Reeves, maybe. Keanu Reeves?
I know Keanu Reeves.
Gary Oldman.
Is he in Mighty Boosh?
Yeah. It's Gary Newman. Gary Oldman, Gary Newman. I can see why you made the mistake.
Okay.
Anyway, I hope that demonstrated to the listeners how little Min knows about films.
I know nothing about like actors and stuff, so I'm going to rely on you to
either correct me
or interject with those kind of things.
So, Guile, the American, you know, you think of Street Fighter, you think of like Guile, the all-American army soldier, sergeant. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. He's played by the Belgian actor, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Now, I just want to say, right, I have no issue with issues with characters playing, like, other races or other, you know...
you shouldn't say, a British actor should play a British person.
No, absolutely not. Or even if, like, you know, a white character's playing an Asian character, who cares? I don't give a fuck, as long as you're a good actor and you're believable. Like, that's your entire job, is to act as something that you're not.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, anyone who gets all uppity about it really needs to take a chill pill. But in this case, I'm like, Guile, like, Street Fighter in general, especially at this point, is very, like...
It's based on stereotypes,
isn't it? And it's based on, like... you know, that stereotype of a specific country. So, as Joe already mentioned, Guile is the all-American, you know, family man, you know, really buff, idyllic soldier, you know. Why would you then cast
a Belgian
person who, like I said, I don't have an issue with him being Belgian. It's just he did not come across as American in the slightest.
No, he had a...
And when I say American, I mean like Street Fighter American.
It did remind me a little bit of, I think I said this, like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Sorry, if you can hear banging in the background, because Jerry 2 is going mental because we're recording a podcast.
He's all bushelled.
He's bushelled and he's going mental. Jerry 2, you cannot be the star of every podcast, okay? Let your sister have a little spotlight, dick. Anyway, so Jean-Claude Van Damme, I think I said to you, it reminds me a little bit of Arnold Schwarzenegger in the fact that he's like, he cannot do an accent, right?
No.
His accent is like, it's terrible.
It's almost the room bad.
Yeah, his acting is also absolutely dreadful. Like, I think he's meant to be sort of like witty, one-liner kind of guy, but it comes off as like, yeah, like the room, you know, or like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, and I do like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but... I mean, yeah, he was terrible. You've got Kylie Minogue, okay, playing Cammy. I assume trying to do a British accent.
Well, yeah, because Cammy, even though she's an android technically speaking, she's British.
Yeah,
she's British in the games. She even in the movie, she's
she's got a little Union Jack flag on her uniform.
Yeah, she's got
a
Union Jack flag. And I can't quite put my finger on whether Kylie Minogue's trying to do a British accent but failing miserably, or if they've just gone, you know what, she's Australian. It sounds, you know, close enough.
Yeah.
Go with it.
I think it would have been better just to say she's from from Australia. Like, I don't really get the point, because her accent is also dreadful. You know, again, it's like, we've got Kylie Minogue and Jean-Claude Van Damme, who are both quite big names, so just let them do what they want.
Jean-Claude Van Damme on?
He's in martial arts films and stuff, you know. But he is a recognisable name. I think he was, like, by far the highest paid actor on the film.
How? He's dreadful.
Yeah. And then you've got Ryu and Ken. I don't know.
By the way, thing that really annoyed both me and you, why do they call Ryu Ryu in the...
Yes, all the way through the film, they call Ryu Ryu.
The only thing that I can think is, at this point, 94, they've never heard, like, the games weren't voiced.
I guess.
They were primitive consoles, so maybe they
not
just...
Because I'm sure Capcom, you know, the producers of Street Fighter, I'm sure that they had some involvement in the film. And I'm sure there was someone involved in the film who could speak Japanese
there
and
was
English.
Two people in the film that spoke Japanese.
Could they not have said... Oh,
how do you pronounce this?
It's not Ryu.
But, or, my thinking as well is that they knew it was Ryu, but... Most American people or you know, people who speak English probably just say Ryu.
Maybe.
Like, when you first saw the name, didn't you think it was Ryu?
No.
As a kid?
I feel like I always knew it was Ryu, and I don't know why, but I can't remember a time where I thought it was Ryu.
People do think it's Ryu if they don't know how to pronounce, like, Japanese names. And I think back then, it was Ryu.
To be fair, up until recently, we thought Zangief was pronounced Zangief.
Yeah, definitely.
I always said Zangief, and then we watched, I think we were watching like...
It was Street Fighter...
Street Fighter 4 has these little animations at the start and end of like each like arcade mod, and we played Zangief's, and it was like, Zangief!
Like, we were like,
what? Zangief? So to be fair, maybe we shouldn't be too harsh. But then we're not producing a $30 million
But my point is, I think they've kept it as Ryu, because if most people recognise him as Ryu in the West...
Yeah.
Then you probably don't want to upset that brand already.
I get that. Well, actually, before we go for the rest of it, so the film is kind of like, I mean, it's called Street Fighter, and it is ostensibly an adaptation of the video games.
Yeah.
But it very much does its own thing. So the game is like, sorry, the film, sorry, I'm so used to doing the other podcast. The film is about M. Bison, you know, played by a guy called Raul Julia. He is a sort of like dictator who wants to take over the world, and he's taken loads of hostages and basically demanded, what was that, $5 billion, $10 billion, something. He's demanded like $10 billion ransom for these hostages, but his plan is to like take over the world. Guile, who is a colonel in this, like a high ranking military officer, has been sent to Shadaloo City, which is where they are, to like deal with M. Bison, and then there's various different sort of little stories that happen around that. I mean, it's one of those films where if I said to you, who is the main character?
I think they intended it to be Guile. I really do.
I think it's because he's the biggest name.
I think Guile and Chun-Li.
Yeah, possibly.
Weirdly. You'd think Ryu and Ken would be like...
Ryu and Ken in this film are like bumbling idiots.
Yeah, but I'd say they probably intended Guile and Chun-Li to be like forefront.
Well, you assume so. But, well, I would have thought it would be Guile and Cammy because of Kylie Minogue, but
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Kylie Minogue, I'm pretty sure she was a big star even then, wasn't she? I don't know. I don't know why I'm looking at you like you'd know. Because I'd... No. Okay.
She was a pop star.
She is a pop star.
Of course she would have had, like...
Na, 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 na.
By the way... No, you know what? That's really bitchy of me. Never mind.
Maybe keep it inside then.
Okay.
Ryu and Ken, who are like, you know, Ryu is like the face of Street Fighter.
Yeah, definitely.
Are like bumbling buffoons. Like, one thing I will say, right, is that I think they go to some effort to make the characters appear like they do in the games. I mean, some of them are better than others, but I think Ryu and Ken are like dreadful. Like,
yeah, I think they've done a decent job with some of them, and then others it's just kind of like fallen to pieces, and it's strange that they've done that to basically the main, when you think of Street Fighter, you will instantly think of Ryu and then Ken, obviously.
Definitely.
And yet they're kind of like, they were almost like the comic relief in a way.
They were like bumbling buffoons so the idea of their character was, I think the first time you're introduced to Ryu and Ken, they are selling weapons to Sagat. Okay, Sagat, another Street Fighter character, very, very tall with an eye patch. In this, he looks pretty good apart from the fact he's too small.
Like, he's tiny because in the, you know, again, it's a minor thing because it's very cosmetic, isn't it?
Yeah.
But in Street Fighter 2, he's like over 6 foot. Like, he's this really tough Muay Thai fighter, you know. But in this one, he was like, I'm pretty sure it was like smaller than...
He was slightly taller than Ryu and Ken, but not much taller.
Not much taller. And you didn't really see the Thai kickboxing aspect.
No, not at all, really. I mean, he only got into a fight right at the end.
Yeah.
But so Ryu and Ken are selling weapons to Sagat. And in the like the first time you're introduced to them, they're about to do a deal, and he says, "Oh, I know where your weapons are, and I know what they are." And Ryu and Ken get like dragged up, and you think they're about to get shot with these weapons. And you said,
"Well, I when I first saw the weapons, I was like, they're plastic."
Yeah, you're like, they're plastic. They're plastic. They look like toys, but then to be fair, it turned out they actually were toys. And the idea is that Ryu and Ken are like these grifter con men who sort of go and rip off criminals. So they pretend they're selling weapons to criminals, but actually they're toys. I don't know how they thought they were going to get away with that. So they're like...
I think they were working with Guile at this point.
No, at this point they're not working with Guile. This is later on. The way they end up working with Guile is that obviously Guile's been sent to Shadowloo City to deal with M. Bison.
Mm.
After Ryu and Ken are caught selling these shitty weapons to... Sagat forces them to fight in a cage fight against Vega, who was dreadful.
The easiest job in the world. I mean, like, he probably went, "All right, can I have my script now?" And they handed him like a blank piece of paper.
Like a sticky note.
He literally says nothing.
No, he said, "I'm pretty sure towards the end of the film," he says, "Where were we?" At one point.
Did he?
Yeah, at one point towards the end of the film, he starts fighting with Ryu again, and he says, "Where were we?" That's the only time he spoke.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's it then. That's his entire line.
Also, Vega is meant to be, like, the more really beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, Vega's entire thing, because he in Street Fighter 2, he's, like, one of the main bosses, not the main bosses, one of the, like, pre-bosses to M. Bison. And he's fucking tough, by the way. But his entire character is that he's a psychopath. His dad murdered his mum. His mum was beautiful. He absolutely hates ugly people and just wants to destroy them.
Yeah.
And he loves beautiful people, but also wants to destroy beautiful faces, so you're fucked either way. But he also is very, very, very vain because he's beautiful. And I think he's like a bull... What do they call him?
A matador.
Matador. He's a matador.
Okay, but can I just ask, what happens if you're like average?
I think...
Is he alright with you, though?
I think he's alright. Well, that's probably...
Result. I'm alright, then. Sorry, go on, carry on.
He's meant to be like absolutely drop dead gorgeous.
Yeah.
Which is why he wears a mask, because when he's in a fight he doesn't want to ruin his
face.
Beautiful face. And if you've ever played Street Fighter 2, then you'll love the little, you know, end screen where you beat him and he's all black and blue and he's really pissed off that you hurt his beautiful face. And he has a claw as well as a weapon so that he can like destroy
your
face. In this, he was kind of just like none of that is explained. He's just there as a...
He's like Sagat's, like, henchman.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he's just kind of there in a cage. No one really explains why he's happy to fight people and why he's jumping around in a cage or...
It would have been great. You know, I would love to see a film that, like, is about Vega. Because like, he's actually quite an interesting character and there's quite a lot you can unpack there.
There's not really much to him. I absolutely fucking love him.
I think where Vega was, like, the villain. I think that'd be good.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
But in this, he's just kind of there. You know,
he's just kind
of
there.
Again, a lot of the Street Fighter characters from the game are just kind of there. Yeah.
And with Vega, he's introduced quite early on, and he's fucking creepy as hell. He's so creepy. I mean,
in the film, yeah.
not in the game. He's brilliant in the game, but in the film, he'll just like pop up from behind someone and like. Smile and do a sideways smile, which I imagine was meant to be sexy.
Oh yeah, it wasn't.
But it really wasn't. It was just like I felt like he was breathing down someone's neck, or just like, I don't know. It reminds me of a meme. I'll send it to you later on. But it was just, long story short, he was very, very, very creepy in it, and not Vega like. Like he did not do Vega any honors.
No. No, so he didn't, did he?
No.
So at this point, like Ryu and Ken, after they've been caught by Sagat, are like fighting, are forced to fight Vega, but the fight gets disrupted by Guile, who arrests everyone there. So they end up in like the world's shittest prison. It looks like the walls are made of bamboo and wood.
Yeah, well they are.
Yeah, well exactly. But why, you know? But yeah, so they end up in prison with Sagat. At that point is the point where Guile decides to work with them, because Guile says, "Okay, what we need to do is we know that Sagat is working with M. Bison." So we need to, what we'll do is we'll let them go free, get Ryu and Ken on our side, have them pretend to work with Sagat, and then follow them back to like where M. Bison is so we can deal with him. Yeah, so that's when he starts working with them.
Oh, yeah, of course.
M. Bison, now, it's difficult,
because
really.
He says to him in the movie, doesn't he, "I feel like you're not like them bad guys."
Yeah, I think he says, like, "Do you want, you're not like them, do you want to be like them?" You know,
and I was like, based on what?
Exactly, yeah.
They were also brawling. Because it was like a huge prison fight and they were fighting as well. So it was like, what have you based this on? Oh,
seriously, so many cringy moments. Yeah. Like, there's that bit, I think, where he says to him, like, look around, you know, do you want to be like these guys? And Ryu just kind of goes, no, can we go now? Like, in the, like he's like a fucking teenager being told off by his mum.
Yeah, I mean, it's really weird. And I just feel like, in terms of what Ryu and Ken look like as well, did you find this? With some characters, they're really committed. They're really committed to the hairstyles.
Yeah.
Or just the look in general, but...
Like Sagat, for example.
Like Sagat, you know, bald head, eye patch. Balrog was... Like, his hair. Yeah. His hairline.
You could poke someone's eye out with his hairline.
Not only that, like, he had a fucking mile-long forehead. Like, honestly, they proper committed to that. And yet you've got Ken... You know, he's a guy who you shouldn't trust, right? He's got blonde hair, dark eyebrows. Like, you should not trust those people.
Your man always says, never trust a man with blonde hair and dark eyebrows.
Yeah, well, but, you know, he's got a very distinct look in Street Fighter 2, right? Or just any Street Fighter in general. Yeah. He's got quite, like, I think straight shoulder length hair, blonde. Yeah, in this one, he just had...
You know what he looked like? He looked like he could be like an extra in the American version of The Office.
Yes, that's exactly. Imagine
him just in like a suit and tie, just stood near the photocopier.
Honestly, like it was bizarre, and you know, Ryu kind of just normal hairstyle. But aside from that, they all the men had the if anyone has lived through the 90s, they all have that that clear translucent hair gel that everyone used to wear that makes your hair go really crispy.
I think you noticed as well. Everyone in the film looks sweaty and greasy.
They
did.
They all looked fucking like. Someone needed to be on set, like, wiping him down and giving him bottles of water and,
fanning him. They looked dehydrated, didn't
they? They looked so dehydrated, but I just found it very weird that they didn't go through the effort of, you know, even giving, like, Ken a wig, a blonde wig, or dyeing his eyebrows a little darker. But with Balrog, they were like, you know what?
It's a really good point. I didn't expect you to get so hung up on this.
I know, it's really
right, throughout. You're right, because Balrog, like, literally, it is bizarre how
much
effort...
Please Google it.
I'll put a picture on Twitter.
Someone has made the, like, executive decision. They've gone, right, get me a razor.
Wax his head. Wax his forehead. But we need it sharp to a point. That's what they've done.
They must have used a really sharp razor to get it that on point. Like, his forehead, is this the right word, was on fleek.
I don't have a fucking clue.
I mean, it was sharp.
It was very sharp.
It was pinpoint sharp. And they, to be fair on him, that is what Balrog's hair is like in Street Fighter 2. But then you have Ken with the 90s, like, Gareth Gates hair gel in his hair. And
no one's going to know who Gareth Gates is.
Just curl. Either way, he just had the, you know, the 90s hair gel. And there was a few other characters that they did that to, like
I mean, some of them, it's, you know, like Chun-Li was a Chinese lady, and it's, you know, do you know what I mean? It's like, she was a Chinese lady, she ended up in a costume. Although, to be fair, in the games, now correct me if I'm wrong, but I always thought that she was like a police officer.
She was
an undercover agent in the Chinese police force.
She was a police
officer. In this, she's like a hard-hitting investigative journalist instead.
Who, by the way, her little minions who hang around with her are E-Honda and...
Balrog.
And Balrog. Why? E-Honda apparently is Hawaiian.
Well, yeah, he is. He's a big fat Hawaiian guy, doesn't he? He looks like the guy who sang the Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Well, actually, no, not that fat.
Who?
Oh, never mind. But,
Rick Waller!
No, Rick Waller! The fuck are you on?
I don't know.
I was talking about the Hawaiian guy who sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow, who sang the cover of it. You know, the Lava song film was based
Moana.
On it. No, that's a film. Oh, let's not go down that. Okay. Let's not go down that rabbit hole. Okay. But no, it says later on in the film that she assembled partners who all had a grudge against M. Bison. And I think it said that, I mean, E. Honda and Balrog's grudge is that he ended their careers. I think Balrog says he ended my boxing career.
Oh.
But still doesn't really explain it. You know, and they seem to be like her camera crew, but...
By the way, right, again, very nitpicky. Well, is it even nitpicky? Like we said, Street Fighter 2 is very, very heavily based on, like, countries.
Yeah,
right? The entire thing is that you fly over and fight these fighters from a specific country. E. Honda is definitely Japanese.
Yeah, he is Japanese. He's a sumo wrestler.
He's called Honda, for goodness sake.
Yeah, that was stupid, that.
And yet it was this, like... Not even that fat of a Hawaiian guy. Like, you know,
chubby, but not sumo chubby.
Sumos are big. E. Honda was big. You know, it's their entire profession to be big. And yet, he was this, yeah, like, kind of chunky guy.
He wasn't the worst one, though. He wasn't the worst one. The worst one, so, like, we'll get into M. Bison in a second, but, like, this, the film has, like, several subplots that exist just to
squeeze
some characters in. And one of them is that Guile's best friend is called Charlie Blanca, okay? And he has been captured and kidnapped by M. Bison, and M. Bison decides that he's going to use this opportunity to create, like, a super soldier, which I don't really understand, because the way they create a super soldier is that they alter his DNA, and you know they're altering his DNA, listener, because they've got, like, a big, like, packet of what looks like a fucking, what do you say, like, freeze pop liquid.
If anyone from the UK is listening, ice pops, but a little bit wider here.
Yeah, and it says DNA alterer on it, or something like that.
No, DNA mutation, and
there's another,
there's another one,
like something to do with muscle mass or something.
Yeah,
and they put those into him, and then they put what looks like a VR headset onto him and make him watch, like, horrible imagery.
Yeah,
now the idea is to create this massive, big, like, muscly guy who's evil, and then somehow they're going to control him and get him to do what he wants, because what comes out at the end of the film, when you actually see what's created, which is Blanca, is for some reason he's turned green. For some reason, his hair's gone red and grown long, even though at the start of the film he was a short...
No, he turns ginger.
At the start of the film, he had short brown hair. He was just like a normal American. At the end of the film, he's green. He's got big, long brown hair, and he's a simpleton. So I don't know how they expected that to work. But, so... oh, by the way, can I say, right? The makeup on Blanca, right?
Oh,
the
prosthetics. My God.
Now, bear with me here. It looks like if someone showed you a clip, if someone showed you a screenshot of Blanca in Street Fighter the movie, I think you'd be fair to think that that was from a porn parody of Street Fighter the movie.
Definitely.
Because it's that level of prosthetic makeup. It's so bad. But the worst squeezed in character is that throughout this, like, sort of Blanca subplot, which probably gets about 7 minutes of film time throughout the entire film. The film's about 1 hour 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Or 7 minutes of it is devoted to this, and it doesn't really go anywhere.
No,
doesn't really have any...
You see him in the machine getting fed these, like, horrific images.
It's hilarious, because he's like...
Yeah, he's like shaking convulsing and going, and then every so often, like, a British voiceover will say 17% muscle mass increase.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, she had a better British accent than
Kylie Minogue. Kylie Minogue, definitely.
But yeah.
There's this, like, there's these two scientists that are working on them, and one of them is, like, nice and one of them's evil. And eventually, the nice scientist switches over the videos that he's watching from, like, horrible nasty stuff of people being killed.
Just to a boy frolicking in a park.
Yeah, to, like, boys frolicking apart, Martin Luther King giving his I Have a Dream speech and all this kind of stuff.
And that's when Blanca became a nonce.
What? Martin Luther King?
No, when he was watching the little boy frolicking.
I thought
Jesus
you were implying that Martin Luther King was a nonce.
Oh my God.
I'll slap you. Anyway.
But I did think it was Biggie Smalls.
You did say she did think
I don't know why.
You did think
I think I got a glimpse of it while I dropped my Red Bull, and I was like,
yeah, she'd spilt a Red Bull, and she was like, why is he watching Biggie Smalls? And I was like, it's Martin Luther King, you fucking dickhead. But anyway, the guy, so the nice scientist who switches over the videos that he's watching so that Blanca will be able to tell, you know, will have the capacity for good and evil. At the end of the film, when, you know, spoiler alert, Bison's base is exploding and they're all trying to escape, his claws get burned off, and suddenly he's Delsim.
Yeah,
right. Doesn't fight, doesn't do anything. He's a white American.
Throughout the movie, we were like, there's no Dalsim. And we're like, no, there isn't. I did think, right, at the beginning, there's a bit where Guile's making a speech to his soldiers, which didn't make sense, but it pans over to, like, an Indian-looking guy.
You thought that was going to be Dalsim?
I thought that was going to be Dalsim. I thought they were going to say, oh, that's Dalsim. That can be Dalsim.
No, it was this white American scientist who just gets his claws burned off and looks a bit like Gandhi at the end.
And honestly, we didn't know that until the end.
No.
I don't even think it says that it was Dalsim.
No, I said, he looks, because to be fair, the film does this really cool, this thing that I think is quite cool, where at the start of the film, you know, they're all wearing various different things and just, like, dressed like, Chun-Li's dressed like a journalist and all this kind of stuff. By the end of the film, through a series of, like, you know, coincidences and circumstances, they all end up wearing their...
Which I thought was
Street Fighter 2 claws. Yeah, which is pretty cute. Yeah, so by the end of the film, E. Honda's in his, like, you know, big sort of, I don't know what they call it, underpants that sumo wrestlers wear. You know,
Chun-Li's in her
red dress.
Her red, I think, Chinese, I can't remember what they call it.
I think the only one that's not is Sagat. Because Sagat wears the box shorts, doesn't he?
They didn't really put too much effort in with Sagat. They kind of shaved his head and slapped an eye patch on him and called it a day.
Yeah, but the... But yeah, so the rest of them are in, like, their Street Fighter 2 gear. And I think I said, when the base was collapsing and the scientist is like... So basically what happens is Guile is like, oh, I'll save Blanco because he's my friend. And the scientist is like, no, 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 you need to leave him with me. I'll look after him. And I was like, he's dressed a little bit like Del Sim now, out of nowhere.
Mm.
And then we Googled it afterwards. I went on Wikipedia and I was like, oh yeah, he's meant to be Del Sim.
Yeah, that was... Because Del Sim in Street Fighter 2 is a pretty cool character. Like, he has stretchy legs.
I always played as Del Sim.
Yeah, because he was so good to annoy people. I would play as Del
Sim. I would just sit at the back and just punch my friends from a distance.
Honestly, like, he's such a cool character in Street Fighter 2. But I was like, in the movie, like, where's his bowl of curry? Where's his fire breath? Where's... Yeah. By the way, I say curry because, like, when I was younger, I used to think that he had...
It's fine, you can say that. just to clarify, Minnie's from Bangladesh.
I am from Bangladesh, so I can say this. So I used to think, as a child, as a little 5-6-year-old, that his fireballs was made from the, you know, fiery hot curry that he ate.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's none of that in the movie.
No, there wasn't, no. I mean, he was a white scientist. And I'm not saying, oh, he should have got an Indian.
No, but it's just that there was no indication that it was Dal Sim. And
no, like he didn't even do anything Dal Sim-like.
And Dal Sim was such a cool character. It was just really, that they could have done so much with him.
Yeah, it was fucking stupid.
And another thing about Blanka, while we're on the topic, do you remember the scene where he's kind of like emerging and... the other guy who's in a fight with this supposed Dal Sim is, like, cattle prodding him. Which, by the way, I thought was a big black dildo.
Yeah, so just to clarify. So at some point in the film, the evil scientist notices that Dal Sim is feeding this nice imagery. I don't know why, if you notice, right, one thing that's really cool is they've got all this, like, really 90s-era interface.
Oh, God,
looks like Windows 94.
Yeah,
no, 98. 95, 98. No, 95.
95, yes. Yeah.
And it's 94. And the evil scientist notices that he's feeding this. And it says, like, when he switches it over, it says alternative cognitive, because it says, like, they call it, like, cognitive input or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing this evil stuff. It's, like, alternative cognitive input, tick, and all of a sudden good stuff comes up. Why is it even there? But when the evil scientist notices that Dal Sim is doing this, he, like, goes, what the fuck are you doing? Well, I didn't say that, because obviously it's a PG-13 film. But what are you doing? Oh, you're ruining it. And they get into a fight. And he stuns Dal Sim with a cattle prod, and Min was like, why did he hit him with a dildo?
Well, it did look like one.
He wasn't one. But was a cattle prod.
My point was that, you know, there was a lot of electricity, and if anyone is familiar with Street Fighter 2, Blanka's entire moveset is, like, based on him being... he electrifies people.
Yeah.
He does these rolls that electrocute you. You can button bash A, and he'll, again, electrocute whoever goes near him and touches him. And I thought that was going to be the point where he gets his electric powers.
Yeah.
Nope. Doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't happen. All Blanka does in the film, after he comes out of the pod and is like, oh, I'm so ugly and all that, all he does is he attacks Guile before he realises that it's his friend. And
all then, he has to say, by the way, is, friend, I'm your friend.
Yeah.
Oh,
friend. And then you see him on a blurry monitor attacking people, and that's it.
But I mean, like, what was the point of that electricity bit? I genuinely thought it was going to be like, oh, you know, he's electrified now. He's got his...
Fuck knows.
God knows.
Don't know.
God knows.
So the only, I think the only main character we haven't talked about is M. Bison. Oh, I mean, again, like, I think T-Hawk is also in it.
T-Hawk is in it.
Literally,
like,
does nothing. He's in it all the way through with Guile.
But they mention him once. He doesn't look like T-Hawk.
No, I think they have to say, where are you going, T-Hawk? So the person watching the film knows that it's T-Hawk.
And same for DJ. I mean, he's not in his usual garb. I think
DJ
doesn't
even fight.
The only thing that they did to him is put two little braids in the back,
yeah,
like his original character design, and gave him a
Jamaican accent.
That wasn't brilliant.
And you know what? They hammered that home so many times. Like, later on in the film, DJ is like stealing stuff from M. Bison, and is like, oh, I can't wait to go back to Jamaica.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going back to Jamaica. I'm definitely going to go back to Jamaica. And it's like, yeah, okay, we get it.
At one point, it's really funny, though, because he says, oh, I should have stayed at Microsoft.
I don't know why he said that.
He really made me laugh.
And then M. Bison is, like, the last big one. And
he's always in his outfit.
He's always in his outfit, yeah. And he's played by Raul Julia, who was dying, I think, during the production.
I didn't know this until you told me that.
Yeah, he had stomach cancer during the production, which is sad, and he died not long after the film is filmed. And obviously this sounds like really horrible, but, you know, he was too skinny to play Bison. I mean, that might be because he was dying.
Well, yeah.
But so I don't want to be horrible about it. But obviously he looked kind of like quite skinny and boggly-eyed, which,
you know,
is
what?
Bison's like buff.
Before you told me about what was going on, I did think, why have they picked, like... Because in the game, Bison is, again, very tall.
Yeah.
This really buff Thai man who's a psychotic leader.
Is he Thai?
Yeah. That's why you fight him in Thailand.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. But yeah, when you told me about the whole cancer thing and that he died shortly after, it really, you know, it's sad, but just seeing his performance, it's like really commendable that he's done that.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, he, don't get me wrong, he massively overacts.
Yeah.
You know what it's like? It's like they've got like a Shakespearean actor and popped him into the middle of like amateur dramatics, because you've got the characters all around him acting like, I mean, wooden would be, I'd call them wooden, but I feel like that's an insult to trees. I mean, like, they're like, you know, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then you've got Raul Julia delivering Shakespearean monologues in the middle of the film.
But I just think it's really impressive that he was able to do that with what he had
going on. Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Because to be fair, I think he's the standout of the film in terms of acting.
I mean,
it's not hard. No. I mean, that's like saying, you know, the tallest midget.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, he was the best. And he does have some really good lines. Like, it's a bit later on where you find out that Chun-Li has been a journalist for 20 years just to have a chance at killing...
Which, by the way, right, at this point, she's, like, taken in.
So she's, like I say, we find out that she's an investigative journalist and she spent 20 years trying to track down Bison so she can have a chance to kill him. Her and Balrog and E-Honda are captured. Those two are taken to like a torture chamber, but he says, like, bring Chun-Li to my quarters,
Is so out of character, because he hasn't shown any of this.
No, which you imply that, you know, he's going to try and, you know, have it on with her.
Fucky, fucky, sucky, sucky.
That's one way of putting it. But there's a really cool line at this point where he says, she tells him, like, I hate you. I've been waiting to have a chance to kill you for 20 years. 20 years ago, your men came to my village and you killed my father who was trying to protect his land and all this kind of stuff. And Bison says, to be honest, I don't remember any of that. And she says, like, she looks like really hurt. And he goes, for you, the day M. Bison graced your village was the most important day of your life. For me, it was a Tuesday.
You know what? I fucking love that. That was amazing.
I know, that's some... But, you know what? What is that doing in this film? That is a genuinely brilliant line.
That was probably the best line in the film. Like, 100%. Me and you both said that is so clever. Yeah. Like, that is so good.
It's a really good line. And I do like M. Bison, the fact that he's, like... a fascist dictator. Like
he's not, though. You know what he's really missing? All he wants is his own little shopping centre.
Do you want to explain that?
So, it's called, what is it?
Bisonopolis.
Bisonopolis. So, there's one scene where he's like discussing what he wants, and he's got like a miniature model of the city that, well, what he wants. And he starts talking about a food court, and he's like, no, we need the food court to be bigger because all the big corporations are going to want in. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God. All he wants is, like, Bison Center.
Yeah, Bison Center, yeah, Bison exactly. Bison Center. That's all he wants. He just wants to open a franchise, you know, like, that's fine. But, but he's like, you know, I do think he does a good job at being, like, the fascist dictator. And he does have some pretty good lines, and he does deliver them pretty well.
Yeah, and his costume's pretty good. He's always on as M. Bison. And I think in the scene where he's got Chun-Li in his chambers for whatever reason, and he's getting undressed behind a screen again.
But what's really funny is to get undressed, he takes one hat off and then puts a different hat on.
But what I was going to say was, what I found really cool, he's got this like little tree of hats, and I'm pretty sure they're all like alternate colours of
the same hat.
Hat, which is kind of cute.
Yeah, no, it is pretty cute. Yeah. Again, I'm not going to go into the story in forensic detail, but you know, the characters all have their own different reasons as to why they end up fighting at M. Bison's base. They all sort of converge there. Ryu and Ken are there as part of this plan, but then they end up getting captured, but then say that they're working for M. Bison instead, and they believe him, you know. M. Bison has Zangief working for him as well, who's, like, really stupid.
He seems so, like... airheaded.
I don't remember him being that stupid in the games. Like, there's a part in it towards the end where it's like M. Bison's clearly losing, and DJ sort of like thinks he's going to flee the sinking ship, and he sees Zangief, and Zangief is like, oh, you need to stay and fight with M. Bison, you know, he's fighting against the enemies of peace and freedom. And he's like, you idiot, M. Bison's the enemy of peace and freedom. He's like, well, if you knew he was the bad guy, why did you work for him? And DJ says, because he paid me loads. And Zangief goes, you got paid?
Oh, that really broke my heart.
Yeah, but it's like, why is he so stupid?
It really broke my heart for some reason. But here's another example of a character that they went all out with the Zangief hairstyle.
Yeah.
His hair is like on point.
Even his chest hair.
Even his chest, whoever glued that hair on needs a pay rise, because it was like exactly how his chest hair is. Like, they put a lot of effort into that chest hair.
They did. It was fantastic.
It's almost like they, whatever hair they took off Balrog, they glued onto his chest in that fashion. But yeah, his head hair as well was.
Yeah, no, it did look. His beard, you know what, on point. There's a bit towards the end of the film where he's like holding up a door and he's like his arms are outstretched, and that could just be from like the game. That was
and you know, when he's somehow in his shorts, in his little ball stranglers, that, you know, good costume. But what I found cute about Zangief is the little. I feel like he watched Street Fighter 2 and they told him, like, this is your character. And he really got the sideways thumbs up.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah, he was like on the sly. He was like one of the most convincing characters.
You know what? I found him so fucking adorable. Like, I think every time he did the sideways thumbs up, it made my heart melt. It was so cute. So I was like, oh my god, he really.
Yeah, and then Guile straightens it at the end.
I'm like, you bitch. Just let him do his sideways thumbs up. It's cute.
So as I said, all the characters have a reason to be in Bison's base for the end fight. You've got Sagat there because he's doing like a dodgy deal with Bison.
Yeah.
Ryu and Ken there because they've kind of snuck the way in as spies. Again, being completely un-Ryu and Ken-like. You know, just call them something else. They're not the same characters. You've got Blanka there. You've got Guile there who's like assaulting them. Kylie Minogue is there. Cammy, who's his like second in command. And it all culminates in one of the most anticlimactic fights because basically what happens, it becomes clear that M. Bison's beaten and M. Bison says, oh, you know what, Guile, you're too scared to face me in the purity of hand-to-hand combat. So Guile says, okay, I'll do that. So he orders all of his men to leave. M. Bison orders all of his men to leave and they have a street fight, like from the game. And it's even like sideways on in the camera at times.
Yeah.
And it looks like... It reminds you that, like, you know, Street Fighter and one-on-one fighting games in general are fun, don't get me wrong, but they're not an accurate representation of what real-life fighting looks like.
No.
Because when you see people moving, like, on a 2D plane almost, but obviously in real life, kicking each other and fighting each other like they do in Street Fighter, it looks fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. It looks ridiculous. Do you remember how bad it looked? You know, like, where fucking Guile will do, like, a spin kick... And Bison fall over. It was really anticlimactic.
I know. And nothing that Guile did hinted that he was Guile. Like, he didn't have the hair. He just had the horrible gelled back.
Yeah, terrible accent.
He didn't have the quiff.
I say terrible accent. It's his accent. No, it's Belgian. Right, it wasn't American
accent. He didn't do, you know, I'm sure that they'd struggle to get a sonic boom in there, but he didn't do, like, the sonic... No, I can't remember what it's called. The kick that he does.
Yeah.
He charged down. Didn't do that. None of his moves were, like, Guile-like. They were all just, like, generic kicks and punches. Yeah. He didn't even have a comb.
Yeah. I mean, at least...
He didn't even have a comb.
At least M. Bison floated for a bit. So, after this point, I think Guile punches M. Bison into, like, some electrical machinery, and he somehow comes back to life using his program.
The idiot, Guile, doesn't check if his... No. Actually dead.
Oh wait, first rule, double tap. Go over and check.
Just check your check his pulse.
Yeah.
Just check his pulse.
Just put a pull it in.
But instead he turns his back, starts video calling Cammy, and then all the while, you know, M. Bison is somehow like giving himself adrenaline shots or something.
Yeah, and then comes back to life, but this time now he has electric power and he can float because he's got electric boots.
Yeah, he's got like these light up Lily Kellys, and then
and he flies around for a bit, kicking Guile, and then Guile kicks him into some TV screens, and then runs away. And you can tell this, right? He runs away, and he's rolling. And Guile then says, "Bison, you're off the air." Okay, that's like his one line off when he finishes. But you can tell they overdubbed it afterwards.
He must have forgotten.
They must have forgotten, like Van Damme was rolling away or whatever, but. Yeah, it was...
I think, you know, when he got electromagnified, is that a word?
It can be.
It is now. Well, I think they were trying to do his Psycho Crusher moves, but it really didn't look good.
Oh, my God, it looked... I mean, you said it was like Nollywood levels, didn't you?
Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know what Nollywood is, it's Nigerian, like, film and stuff. And the CGI in those movies are like...
In fact, there's a guy on Twitter,
you know,
that I showed you who was like, who used the recreated like Mortal Kombat finishes using like cans of Pringles and things.
I mean, you know, just YouTube Nigerian, you know, CGI, and you'll see examples of it. That's what
it was that level. And to be fair, it was 27 years ago now. So, you know. times have changed, but I still think like there's better CGI from the time.
If I was them, I would have just been like, just leave it out.
A lot of the film felt very low budget. I mean, there were times where you were like, the cars look plastic, the guns look plastic.
Yeah, somehow, right, how did they make a truck look plastic?
I don't know.
It was bizarre, and you know, the boats looked plastic, some of the things looked cardboard.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they reused the toy guns as the real guns.
Yeah, I think they did.
Yeah, it was fucking weird.
The only other bit I really want to highlight is a bit where it implies that Balrog thought that Eonda was asking him for a handjob.
Yeah, oh my god,
because there's a bit where they're in prison and Eonda is tortured by being whipped and Balrog's chained up nearby. And when the torturer leaves in frustration because Eonda refuses to show any pain, Eonda says, Balrog, give me a hand. And Balrog says, listen, we've only been in prison for 3 hours. Talk to me again in a month. And he says, No, I mean, like, help me get out of the chains. And he's like, all right, that's what you mean. And I was like, ugh.
Oh, it was just like, it came out of nowhere. Yeah, honestly. It did. It was fucking weird. And I found, another bit just to jump back that I found fucking hilarious was when M. Bison just decided to make himself a cocktail for him and Chun-Li.
Yeah.
And he just, like, walked over to it, grabbed it and like shook it.
Oh yeah.
I just looked at the screen. It was really funny for some reason.
The other bit as well that I want to highlight that came out of nowhere, as well, talking of things that come out of nowhere, Chun-Li throughout the film shows absolutely zero romantic interest in Guile.
Yeah.
Like zero romantic interest in Guile at all. To be fair, she shows zero romantic interest in anyone. Yeah. Not just Guile. But for some reason at the end of the film, she goes up to Guile and she's like, so how about a private interview? And he says, yeah, but only if you wear that dress, and she kind of giggles. It comes out of literally nowhere. Like, literally nowhere does that come out of.
No, literally. And, I mean, they had a few opportunities where they could have at least hinted at that, because she sees him in the morgue pretending to be dead. By the way, Guile pretends to be dead.
Oh, yeah, there's a whole...
subplot
where he fakes his death.
She sees him in the morgue, and, again, zero romance.
No.
Nothing. I mean, in fact, he even says, I'm not going to give you an interview.
Yeah, and then she says, and then she's like, I knew you'd never understand me. You know, like, and then at the end, it's just like, by the way, now that all this is done, wanna fuck? Just literally comes out of nowhere.
It was fucking bizarre. And speaking of things that come out of nowhere, her fringe. She's got quite like long, luscious hair that's kind of sideswept. And then when M. Bison takes her to his chambers, as he calls it, she's in this red dress that's now her costume.
Yeah.
And then the two iconic buns and a really light fringe that she'd never had before.
No.
So all I can think is that M. Bison is like,
go on, put her in a nice dress to give her this haircut.
Bought a very, you know, took in Guile's comb, I presume. Pulled a few hairs out and cut it. Yeah. And gone, there. Right, give the rest of this hair to Zangief. You can put it on his chest.
Put it onto his chest. On with Balrog's hair. Oh,
I don't
dear.
Know.
Oh,
it's dear. You know, they did a few things that were like really adorable.
Yeah.
Like the way they transition into their outfits is really cool.
And the final moment as well, where they all got into like their Street Fighter pose.
Yeah, you know, that really warmed my heart. That warmed my cockles.
That was really cute. And you can tell that like there is a little bit of love. Like, it's a bit later earlier on in the film where in order to infiltrate M. Bison's like compound, Chun-Li pretends to be like a magician, like a sort of circus act thing.
Yeah.
And there's like a big jar and it says Capcom on the cap and stuff like that. You know, there's a few little Easter eggs, there's certainly some love.
The fight stick.
Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, that's really nice. So when Guile is infiltrating, well, trying to attack M. Bison's fortress, he sees him, so he like activates his defences and it's controlled with like a sort of joy-kit stick, isn't it?
It genuinely is, yeah.
And buttons, and when he thinks he's killed Guile, he says, game over.
Yeah.
It was just some nice moments, you know.
Definitely.
But there's also a lot of very, 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 very bad acting.
I mean, Chun-Li, the first time you see her fight, because all throughout she's a reporter, but when she gets captured by M. Bison, this is the first time that you see her fight.
Yeah.
So she'll like... she'll go, oh, I wanted you to think I was a weak woman. And then she'll, like, smash out of her handcuffs, which become part of her outfit as well, yeah. Which I thought was really cool. But the noises and the fake faces she makes.
Oh, yeah, that was so funny. That was so funny, wasn't it?
It was so fucking hilarious. Like, she makes this weird grunt.
Yeah.
She makes these really weird faces, and it's just...
She looks like she's in, like, a wind tunnel when she does it. She's like, ah!
Yeah, and then, like... Weird. Conveniently, like, the rest of the, you know, Ryu, Ken, I think E-Honda and Balrog bust into the room, distract Chun-Li, and then that lets M. Bison slip into this little room.
This little panic room.
This little panic room where he can press a button to release gas. But we were just like, okay, now what? How is he going to get out now?
Never showed that, did it? No. Really? No.
I just imagine he had to like wait until...
Yeah.
Until they woke up.
And then he's like, still here. Can you let me out? I need the toilet.
Yeah.
But I've got to say I did like M. Bison. No, I like the fact that he's got his own money with his face printed on it. It's a bit where Sagat wants it to be paid for some weapons, and he's like, here you go, here's your wage. And he says, he tries to pay him in Bison dollars, and he's like, Bison dollars? What the hell is this? And he says, that Bison dollar will be worth £5 for each dollar, and the British will agree to that when I kidnap their queen.
I just thought, right, you've taken hostages who literally have no, like, they're just random people. Yeah. You want $10 billion for them. But you're going to kidnap the Queen, the fucking Queen of England, and what you're going to do is you're going to say, right, I want one of my Bison dollars to equal five whole great British pounds.
He says, like, five whole great British
could
pounds.
Could you not have gone higher? Like, because if that was me and I had the Queen in my fucking gas chamber, I'd be like, you know what, maybe five is a little too little.
Yeah, maybe 500.
Maybe 500. Pounds. But you know what, no, five whole great British pounds. I don't understand... Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Is there anything else glaring that you wanted to point out before we move on to...
The when you were talking about the little Capcom thing, that I know a lot of people aren't going to understand this, but I really want to get this off my chest.
Oh my God.
The barrel that Chun-Li is in looks like, if any Asians are out there, like there's these mixed pickles that Asians eat, and if you buy them in like... bulk, you can get like a 30 kilogram tub of it. That's what it looks like. What? It looks like a mixed pickle tub.
I mean, we already have a very small listenership. Let's face it. It's early days. We have a very small listenership. How many of those do you think are going to be Asians from the UK?
Who eat Ahmed pickles?
Who eat Ahmed's pickles? Yeah. I don't even know why you're wasting your breath. Anyway. Anything else you want to point out?
Not that I can remember, no.
Okay, well, before we sort of sum up our final thoughts of the game, I've got a little... final thoughts on the film, sorry. I've got a little game to play, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is called Chun... Actually, you know what? We're going to call it M. Bison or N. Lyson. M. Bison or N. Lyson. We could also call it Chun-Li or Chun-Li.
I think I like that one.
Okay, we'll call it Chun-Li or... Can we just edit that out one sec? Edit point. Beep. Okay, we're going to call it Chun-Li or Chun-Li.
Okay.
You ready, Min-Li?
Okay. I'm ready.
The way this works, right, really original concept, so I need to listen carefully because you won't get it. I'm going to read out five facts about this film, okay? Five bits of trivia.
Mm-hmm.
They are either true or false, and you have to guess if they are true or false, okay?
Okay.
You understand? Number one, early drafts for the film included a subplot where the characters from the film get transported to an alternate dimension where they meet the video game characters they are based on. Is that true or is that false?
False.
Ding! Yeah, that is false. That'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it? It's just the kind of thing that happens in these films. Number two. For the role of M. Bison, Raul Julia researched various dictators' crime lords and their lives and personalities and mimicked many of their traits to incorporate into the M. Bison character, notably Benito Mussolini's hand gestures, Joseph Stalin's mannerisms, Pablo Escobar and his elusiveness, and Adolf Hitler's love of art. Is that true or is that false?
True.
Ding, that is true. And can I just say, that is, like, a ridiculous amount of effort to go to.
Well, he seems like the kind of guy, if he pushed through it with cancer, then I imagine he took it very...
I know, I just wish someone would have told him that he was in Street Fighter the movie and not in, you know...
Did he die before this was...
I think he died before it had been received, yeah.
Well, you know what, at least...
That's a good thing, probably.
At least he went out peacefully then.
Yeah.
Not seeing that.
But, I mean, the amount of effort that he went to, watching... footage of all these dictators and trying to copy the mannerisms. Well, compare that to Jean-Claude Van Damme, who didn't even bother trying to do an accent. Do you know what I mean? It's like the levels of effort. I feel like they really stumbled across Raul Julia for this film. Well, actually...
By the way, do you remember that John Wayne Gacy?
Yes, there was a weird painting in his office that was inspired by John Wayne Gacy.
Which I had no idea, but I was like, why does that look like John Wayne Gacy? And turns out...
I'd read it on a website, yeah. Okay, number three. Raul Julia accepted the role of M. Bison because his children were fans of the Street Fighter games and he wanted to participate in a film that he thought they could enjoy with him.
True.
Yeah, it's true.
Again, I'm only guessing this. Quite a sad one, isn't it, that one? I'm guessing this just based on what I think he would have...
Yeah, it's sad, that one, isn't it? Because he didn't get a chance to enjoy it with him, but... Yeah. Okay, so two out of three so... You got three out of three so far, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ming-Na Wen, who played Chun-Li, I may be saying that incorrectly, said that she cringed after seeing the film for the first time and told her ER co-star, George Clooney, apparently she was in ER, the show, that she feared her career would be over.
True.
Clooney casually remarked, "Oh, honey, it takes a lot to kill a career, I should know." True or false?
George Clooney, is he the one who likes to sniff his own farts?
Possibly. Is that true or false?
Is he the one that did that speech?
Yes. Is it true or false?
True.
Ding, that is true. Yeah, yeah. Apparently they worked together and she cried and said, "Oh, my career's over," when she saw how bad the film was.
Oh.
Final one. Initially, the film was much darker in tone, but Capcom insisted the film be rewritten to get it under the PG-13, that I haven't finished yet, PG-13 rating, because of the, you know, fan base. Many scenes were cut, including a scene which depicted, many scenes were cut, including a scene which depicted Balrog snorting cocaine and getting into a bar fight, and a scene in which Guile was tortured by having a cattle prod shock his perineum.
False.
What do you think is false?
What do you think?
Yes, that is false.
Maybe if you didn't mention the perineum bit.
Can you describe what a perineum is?
It's a taint.
The taint, the grundle.
It's the grundle.
The bit of skin between the scrotum and the anus. So yeah, all right, you got 5 out of 5. Well done. Clearly, I didn't put enough effort in. Chun-Li or Chun-Li? Well done. Okay.
You really bungled up that last one.
I couldn't help myself. Okay, well, do you want to summarise your final thoughts on this film then? Go.
Yeah, I mean, it's awful. It's absolutely awful.
Okay.
It had its few cute moments and the little Easter eggs I did enjoy. I think the end, where they're all kind of joined together and it kind of freezes and they're all in their little, poses that you'd find in the original game. That was very cute. And you can see moments where they've put a lot of, like, effort and love into trying to take it back to the original. But other than that, it was terrible.
I thought it was, you know what, I thought it was entertaining.
It was definitely entertaining.
Yeah, it was entertaining. And it was certainly terribly acted.
Yeah, I think some people did better than others. Jean-Claude Van Dyke.
Van Damme. You figured Dick Van Dyke.
Sorry.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Jean-Claude Van Damme was awful.
Yeah.
Like,
You know what? Did I miss out? I definitely had something in here. One second. Oh, well, I meant to include, I read a fact, apparently, I must have got rid of it, that apparently Jean-Claude Van Damme was really difficult, right? He got paid the most out of all the actors and had his own hotel suite, but apparently he was doing cocaine constantly throughout the shoot. And would just disappear partying for days on end, so much so that the director had to like reschedule stuff because they'd be like, "Where's John?"
Not just sacked him?
He was the biggest star of the film. Like they couldn't afford to sack him. Like, and they were like, "Shit, we need John. We need filming a bit today," so they'd have to just film someone else because he wasn't there because he was partying and doing cocaine and stuff. So,
if that's true, that's horrible.
Yeah. True.
You can tell some people put more effort in than others.
100%, like ridiculously so. Like Raul Julia, give it his all.
You know what? That kind of annoys me because he is a man who's dying of stomach cancer, giving it his all, putting loads of effort in.
He filmed 2 films.
Filming 2 films, and then you've got this fucking douchebag, who's like worse than Wood.
Yeah. Doing cocaine and partying not turning up for shoots.
What an absolute grundle.
Yeah. Well, I thought the film was entertaining schlock. Like, you know, it's never going to win an award, you know, obviously. But would I watch it again? Maybe. It made me laugh quite a few times. I would certainly rather watch this film than Motorboat E. Honda's Grundle. That much. I would certainly rather watch this film than Motorboat E. Honda's Grundle. I'm prepared to say that.
That's disgusting.
It's not about what I think, and it's not about what you think, because this is Maisie's little corner of the podcast, okay? Because this is the first episode of Maisie's Movies. Maisie, you watched Street Fighter, the movie, with us as well. Maisie, give your opinion, give your judgment on Street Fighter, the movie. Well, that was a strong start for Maisie, I think.
Yeah.
Really clear, concise, well-rounded. You know what? Jerry could take some lessons, I think, from his big sister. That was really well done. Ladylike as well. Good job, Maisie.
You know,
Thank you for listening. If you want to contact the show, either to give us recommendations or to give us feedback or anything like that, if there's anything you'd like to hear us play for Jerry 2 or watch with Maisie, get in touch and let us know. Any feedback is also appreciated. You can also follow the podcast so you can email us at jerry2podcast@outlook.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @failslets, or also we have an Instagram.
Jerry's Instagram, which is jerry2podcast.
@Jerry2Podcast.
You know what? Jerry's new to this. Yeah, so can you leave him alone, please? He's just got an Instagram. He's figuring it out. He's got pause. You know, it's difficult for him. So stop criticising.
Didn't criticise.
He will learn.
He'll
get it down.
I'm sure he will. But if you want to see Jerry living his best life on Instagram, go to @Jerry Podcast. And is there anything you want to say before we wrap up?
No.
Okay, well, thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it, and good bowels.
Good bowels.